Good morning, good morning, good morning. Are you guys half as ready as I am right now? Are you an eighth of what I am right now? I'm back there still humming. If I could sing like this, I would be a man full of pride. Like, there's a reason God didn't give me the ability to sing, because the worship team this morning, I don't think we say thank you enough, but daggone, that was... Like, I was almost like, skip the preaching, just stay up there. But I'm told I'm not allowed to do that anymore. So here's the thing, spiritual campaign. If you are just now joining us, you're on the very last week of our spiritual campaign. But you're not going to miss out on anything, because every single week is a standalone week. This week, the one you're downloading, the 7-mile miracle, here's what it is. The distance that Jesus had to travel was 7 miles. But then also we explored the 7 things that Jesus said as he's hanging on the cross. I want to encourage you to download and read it with us, and don't feel bad if you fall behind. So I need to do some confession. This week, at the very beginning of the week, my wife and I, we normally do our devotion at the end of the day. Kids are down, we're by ourselves, and we got behind 2 or 3 days, and then we eventually went, we'll start again next week. I missed every one of the readings this week. That's okay, Pastor, you're not a bad guy. Yeah, like... Here's the thing. So if you fell behind, like I did, I lose a little motivation, because I read everything ahead of time to get ready for the sermon. Well, this week, I read everything ahead of time, but then the private time with my wife and I, life just got busy. Sometimes that happens. I want to encourage you. This is what's known as Holy Week. Anyone ever heard that phrase before, Holy Week? Passion Week. That might be a phrase you've heard before. This is where we're at right now. From now to Good Friday, which is obviously on Friday, then for us, Saturday at Woodland Park, we're going to be giving out 40,000 Easter eggs, plus hot dogs and cotton candy and just everything else. And so that's going to be happening Saturday, but then next Sunday's Easter. I want to encourage you to take a 7-day journey with us. And here's what I love about this time of year. I feel no pressure as a pastor to perform, be funny, be inspirational. I feel like I get to do this, tell you about Jesus. So if you're here today, I just want to let you know, I'm going to give you fair warning. Now and Friday and next Sunday, we're going to talk a lot about a guy named Jesus, because he's impacted our lives, my life, and actually the world's, the global life. And so just I invite you to be a part of that journey with us. Before we do that, I do have a question for you. With Palm Sunday, do you know what normally people waved on Palm Sunday? Palms, yeah, it's like built-in answer for you right there. So we were like, hey, maybe we should get palms for all the adults to stand up and wave, right? It got voted down pretty quick. So the kids, if you have anybody in the Voyage right now, they have palm branches, and rumor has it one of the kids is being dressed up like a donkey to have someone ride in on him. So find out if your kid is the donkey, and if not, they at least wave branches. For the rest of us, we're going to do something different with our palms today. Ready? Do you have anybody have a telephone here? Pull your telephone out real quick. We're going to do 21st century palm worship, and that's logging onto a social media account and saying, I'm at Navigation Church celebrating Jesus Christ on Palm Sunday. Hashtag Navigation Church, hashtag David Amstein. Like, so that's our Palm Sunday. So while you're doing that, I have a pop quiz for everyone else who's you're an oldie and goldie Christian. Finish the song with me. This is the day. Wow, not much energy. No. Way not to back down. Grab a mic. The key of flat sounds great on you. So here's the thing. Like, you can tell there's musicians back there. For those watching online, we're thrilled you're joining us. If you actually sang out loud, you have to let us know about it. You got to let us know. So here's the thing. When this Palm Sunday, this is a very famous song, and I was just curious if you remembered it. Okay, so Palm Sunday, important time in our faith. It starts Holy Week. When it comes to the writing of this week, ready for this? 2/5 of the book of Matthew, 3/5 of Mark, 1/3 of Luke, and 1/2 of John is devoted to this week. And you go, well, what does that mean? Well, there's a total of 89 chapters in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is our main accounts of who Jesus is. Of this, there's 89 chapters. Four of the 89 covers 30 years, which is kind of like his childhood. We mentioned the birth, we mentioned that he was at a temple, and now he's a man. And so the last 3.5 years are covered by 85 books. 29 of them only cover 7 days. So here's what I kind of want to say. This is a really big deal. This is something that we should be looking at and we should be focused at. But the worst thing for us to do is jump right into Palm Sunday and see what God, Jesus is doing on this day as he's riding in Jerusalem. I feel like I want to go backwards in time a little bit, do a little backstory. Can we say this? Kind of give a running start to how we got here. And here's where we want to start today. How many have ever heard of a man named Lazarus before? Right? So Lazarus was this really good friend of Jesus, actually one of his primary partners in the ministry. Jesus came through, Lazarus gave him food, Lazarus gave him a place to stay, took up love offerings for him, did all that kind of stuff. He was the first subscriber to Jesus' newsletter and podcast. Like Lazarus, Mary, Martha, huge fans of Jesus. So Jesus is ministering one day, and a guy comes running up to him, and here's what I picture if I came running up to Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Give me a second, like, because we're all out of shape, that's why. So he comes running up to Jesus, and he goes, hey, Jesus, I need to tell you about your friend Lazarus. And Jesus is going, what's going on? What's going on with my homeboy? That's how close they were. They called him bros. And so what's going on with my bro? And Lazarus says, or the guy said, Lazarus is dying. He's had a fever for a long period of time. He continues to cough. He's spitting up blood. Like, none of us think this is really good. We need you to come home. And Jesus goes, oh, okay, I'll be right there. And then Jesus does something that's crazy. It's actually, I think, a misprint in the Bible. It says, and then Jesus waited 2 more days. Hang on. This is like your BFF. Like when you're down and out, this is who you text of, hey, man, keep me in your prayers. If you told me my son was nearby and all I had to do was get to him and he would be healed, good luck stopping me. Am I the only parent that would say that? Like, you're going to do everything you can. So Jesus, here's what he said. He goes, hey, I'm going to hang out here for 2 days later, but don't worry, this won't end in death. So the guy runs back home and says, hey, Jesus said this isn't going to end in death. You know, he's on his way. 24 hours go by. And you don't think Mary and Martha are looking at the hill? Like, any second now. His shortness of breath, if you ever involved in death before, like there's like a death gurgle and there's like there's signs you go, this is getting really bad. And the next thing you know, the last breath happened. Where is he? He'll be here any second. He can still do CPR. They had it back then. He can still do something to help this guy out. Because by the way, as soon as Lazarus died, for Mary and Martha, that's their livelihood. They couldn't go get a job. Women were treated like property. They had no value in courts of law. They could not make an income or a living for themselves. They would be left to be beggars. So this is like a tragic family affair that's occurring right now. And, well, I guess we have to bury him. So they wrap up the body of Lazarus, put him in the tomb. 2 days later, Jesus goes, hey, it's time to go. Let's go see Lazarus. And the disciples go, hey, you know he's like gone already, right? Jesus goes, no, he's just sleeping. And they're like, no, I think it's a little more than that. And Jesus is like, no, guys, I know he's dead. Like, that's why we have to go now. So Jesus shows up, and here's how excited the sisters are. One runs to him. The other one stays at the house. Now, I'm not sure what her body type was, but I know when I've ticked off women before, and you guys get your... That's enough. I know. I felt like I want to keep explaining it, but all of us guys know, and all of us are afraid of you women sometimes. So, like, I'm thinking, right? I can say this, right? So she's at home and pouting, and Jesus comes up, and here's one thing we got to have to wrestle with right now. And so it's John chapter 11, verses 14 through 15. So then he told them, this is Jesus telling this, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't here. So here's what we have to kind of figure out. What happens when the Jesus we know isn't the Jesus we want him to be? Isn't that where we're at right now? Like we know you're his healer, but you weren't here to be healer, and you weren't here as healer, and now you're telling me good? I can see why I ain't gonna go out and see Jesus. He didn't come here to see Lazarus. I feel like I'm so close to being in trouble, like going too far with this example. But But you can kind of see it, because what happens when the Jesus we want isn't the Jesus he is? Because there's a lot of times in our life that we've prayed for something, we've asked him for something, we've endured through something, wanting him to come through for us. And can we just be honest with us? In our mind, the box that we created, the scenario that we wrote out, he didn't come through. And I, just so you know, I didn't say that in the first service, but I feel like I should say it again in this one. That you played out a scenario, that you had your dream, that you put it on a table, that you made the request known, and you just needed Jesus to come through for you, and he didn't. I love you enough to say this. I'm glad he didn't. Because here's why, we just got to keep reading to the next sentence. I did it so that you may believe. Believe what? That he's the resurrection Jesus. See, Jesus at this time, they knew him as healer. They knew him as food supplier. Some even knew him as water walker. But on this moment in time, he's saying this to them. But I'm also the one who overcomes death. And the only way that you meet the Jesus that overcomes death is by experiencing death. So Jesus at this time, he comes up to this grave. I love it. He just comes up to the grave, and everyone's up there weeping and crying. And it says this shortest verse in the Bible. Let me see if you know it. It says, Jesus wept. This word wept there, here's what it means. It means for tears to burst forth. It doesn't mean you're watching, I can only imagine at the movie theaters, go support it. I haven't yet, but I'm going to now that I told you to. And you know, all of a sudden you're hearing about a dad and a tear comes down. No, this is the phone call that you get that you weren't expecting, that next thing you know, you're on the ground crying. But here's what I don't understand about it. Jesus knew what he was about to do. So Jesus knew that he was about to call into a tomb and Lazarus was about to come walking out, but yet he ended up weeping with humanity. Why? And that's actually a thought I want to keep exploring throughout the day, because I think it gives us insight to God Jesus and the man Jesus. But here's what he knew, that there was a time that they were going to understand him, but at this point, he understand them. And they're sitting there and crying, and they roll the tomb away, and I love it. He goes, "Hey, Lazarus." By the way, I think he had to call him by name, because if not, like, everybody would have come out. If he would have been like, "Tomb empty," you would have seen like Uncle Larry from three generations ago come hobbling out like, "Can you fix this while we're here?" You know, so I gotta go ring the bell. So oh, when you laugh hardest at your own joke, you probably okay, so he calls out the Lazarus for Lazarus to come forth. That one so entertained me, just so you know. So Lazarus comes walking out of the grave, and at this moment, now he's going, "Hey guys, there's a greater level of understanding that we can come to here." And then in this great moment, and this may be a place that you can connect with and you find true in your own life, in the greatest moment of victory, someone could still not want you to be happy. Do you know that to be true? Do you know that some people don't care about your well-being? Some people don't care if you get on top, if you become more than a conqueror, if you become the head and not the tail. And you gotta love this. This is great. There's two main reasons for it, and see if you can disagree or agree with me here. It says, John 11:45, "Therefore, many of the Jews who come to visit Mary," who's Mary and Martha, Lazarus' brother, right? So, "and they had seen what Jesus did, they believed in him." Which, by the way, kind of had to. Dead guy in a tomb, now out of the tomb, going, "I'm hungry." I had another bell joke, and I just know I can't go there. So I said, but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus has done. So the Pharisees were the religious sect. They were the ones that were most hostile towards Jesus. So a good religious group did a great thing. They had a board meeting. They said, "Hey, the chief priests and the Pharisees called a board meeting, a meeting of the Sanhedrin. And they said, 'What are we accomplishing?' they asked. 'Here is a man performing many signs.'" Here's what's crazy. They're saying, like, "We admit he's doing awesome things." Did you read that? Now watch this. "If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. Then Rome will come, take away our temple, and take away our power, take away our nation. We lose political points if he keeps going ahead." Although they couldn't heal a soul, they couldn't save a life. And I know right now, didn't your brain like go to Washington, D.C.? Yeah, we got to tell them legislators or Springfield, like, pass a budget. Here's the thing, like, make it way less than that. Think about your office. Are there political games happening there? Where, man, I'm doing good for the company, but someone wants to be ahead of you, so they try to maneuver and manipulate power in order to bring you down. It happens. Think about school. You got all these kids, and everyone should just be happy. You're learning, you're getting educated, but somehow isn't there like this layers in a school, and if you start becoming a part of the wrong group, now there's an attack, an assault on your character? Why? Because it's political power. So Jesus is sitting there and going, despite all the good power that I'm doing right now, you guys are attacking me. And by the way, they kept their power going. So right now back in Jerusalem, all these Pharisees, all these Sanhedrins, the religious group, they're getting ready for something known as Passover, which we're going to be covering this Friday night. Again, we'd love for you to join us. You don't have to. We're going to be streaming online so you can join in with us. I will tell you this. You're going to come in and get this sweet little box. This is a full-blown commercial at this point because you get this box that are going to have all these different things for you to eat. Because we're going to actually do a Seder meal together, a form of a Seder meal. So when it says that Jesus sat and ate with his disciples, you're going to actually experience what he experienced on that night. So it's just going to be a great event. We'd love for you to have him. Because right now, everyone's getting prepped for that. Here's one of the ways that the priests would have been prepping for it. They take a lamb and set it aside 5 days ahead of time. Which is, oddly enough, the same thing that happened to Jesus. Remember Jesus then, he's in the house of Mary and Martha. And Martha comes, breaks open the oil, and pours it all over him. And it's because our lamb was being set aside to be sacrificed for us. So he was weeping because he knew what was coming, but he was walking the process so that we could be free. And here's the second reason people attack you. Ready for John 12, 4 through 6. It says, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, and this is great. John just keeps digging at him. John does not like Judas, and here's why I say that. It says, oh, by the way, who later betrayed Jesus. That's how I read it, had the head nod and everything. And he said, objected, and Judas actually said this. He goes, why wasn't this perfume sold for money to give to the poor? It was worth a year's wage. And John adds this. And by the way, he did not care about the poor. He was a thief. He kept the money bag. He used to help himself. If he ever got sticky fingers, he'd just run on there. Every time we turned around, he had a new sweater. He had a new hat. He had a new, you know, a little goat or a Segway. Like Judas always had like new cool like Nikes for himself. And we all knew he was a thief. But I'm just letting you know he's a thief. He don't care about poor people. He was just making a deal through this because it took off. Do you know there's some people who will, at the expense of your relationship, care more about money? There's some people that if you get in between them and their money, all hell break loose. And so here in Jesus' life, I'm telling you these type of things so that we can connect with them. Jesus is going through the same thing that you go through. He dealt with people who didn't support them because they were losing power. He dealt with people who didn't support them because they were losing money because of him. And Jesus is sitting there going, wait, you can't care more about stuff than you do people. So you have this, now Jesus being set aside, he ends up going in Jerusalem, he overthrows the temple changers again, he does all these different activities, conversation with the Sanhedrin, but then Palm Sunday, which is today. Everyone say this, Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday now. The people hear that Jesus is coming into town, and Jesus does something which, let's kind of do another life lesson here. They had an expectation that Jesus didn't meet. So they were disappointed in Jesus. So the worst thing you can do, married couple, if you're in a relationship, here's one. If you say I'm going to be home at 5 and you get home at 6 because you didn't meet your own expectation, don't be surprised that she's upset. Okay? Hey, salesmen, business owners, if you promise that you will deliver a deliverable on this date and you miss it by a week and you wonder why your customer is mad at you wanting money off the contract because you set an expectation, didn't meet the expectation, and if you don't meet the expectation, plan on frustration to be a part of it. Does that make sense? Okay, here's something worse than that. When someone sets an expectation for you that you don't even know about. So they expect something out of you that they never communicated, which, by the way, husbands, I'm just going to help you out. If you come home and she's already mad, you hit an unspoken expectation. Don't deal with the what. Come back to what was I supposed to do that I didn't know about. I love you enough to help you out here. But unmet or unsaid expectations will always create a frustration. You know, this last week, true story, I found out that someone was upset with me because I didn't do a job here at the church. I didn't do a job that they thought a pastor should do. That's a pretty bright, like, broad stroke there. Like, guys, we're growing to the point where I don't know what a pastor is supposed to do, but I definitely can't do everything anymore. Like, and at some point, they're upset because of an expectation I was unaware of. So now imagine if you're Jesus riding into town on a donkey, which, by the way, like the disciples, they're ready to go steal it for me. He's like, hey, I need a donkey. And they're like, we got this guy. He's like, no, you don't steal it. The master will come out. They're like, you don't have, we've stole donkeys before. We know how this is done. Like, you don't have to steal it. Like, I know you're going to cut off an ear later and you cuss too much, but just go get the donkey. There'll be one guy that comes. One guy, there's two of us. We'll throw him a beating. No, don't. Just relax. Just say to them, the master has need of it, and he'll freely give it to you. So now Jesus is riding on a donkey because he always rode that way. I had someone between service that said, you should try that joke. I'm hating them right now. So the reason he's coming in on a donkey, if you were a foreign nation coming into a place on a horse, it would look like you're coming as a threat. But if you rode a donkey, the donkey is actually a signal of peace. So now Jesus coming in on a signal of peace with these lines of people that are going, our expectation on you is to become our king. And the moment you become our king, you're going to overthrow the Roman government that's, by the way, oppressing us. We're basically slaves to them right now. You're going to take us back to a new land. You're going to set up a new kingdom, and we'll get back on the God track. That's our expectation. And Jesus going, I'm not going to hit that at all. So we wonder why they go from the next day, there was a great crowd, John 12:12, it's the next day, great crowd from the festival heard that Jesus was coming. They took these palm branches, went out, began waving him and blessing him and shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For they found a young donkey and sat on him, do not be afraid, daughter Zion, see the king is coming, sitting on the donkey, we worship you, we praise you. Fast forward 24 hours, crucify him. You didn't meet our expectation. I didn't worship you so you could be a silent lamb allowing people to beat you, stripped naked in front of everybody. Where's your army? Where's your soldiers? Free us from this place. And here's the thing, the Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the name of the Lord. It comes from Psalms 118 where we get the song, this is the day, this is the day. Wow. Just I put the words on the screen. No. See, this is the day. Actually, it's a day 485 years in the making. I'm like, wow, Pastor, that's a pretty specific number there. Well, okay, so I'm gonna give you a lot of information here, and I believe that you can follow it. Although one of the team members said that the church isn't smart enough to. And I disagreed with them. I said, I think they're smart enough. And I don't want to tell you who it was because I don't want you to be mad at Pastor Aaron. So I'm going to give you a lot of information here. And this is one of these things that when we get to the end, you go, how cool. Like, that's all this is. So how many remember Daniel in the lion's den? You ever heard that name? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, look at all you Bible thumpers. I love it. So Daniel is this Old Testament guy that was in Babylonian captivity. And by the way, this research comes from Sir Robert Anderson, who was a criminal investigator from the Scotland Yard, actually ran the Scotland Yard, and wrote a book called Coming Prince. So Daniel had this prophecy way back in the day, 445 BC. So I'm going to read it to you, then I'm going to explain it to you. It's Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. It says, no one understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore, to rebuild Jerusalem. So number one, by the time a word goes out to go rebuild Jerusalem. Two, until the anointed one, the ruler, comes. So that's the second thing. There'll be one to rebuild Jerusalem, one till the anointed one comes. Jesus comes. It's going to be seven sevens and then 62 sevens. And it'll be built on ruins and streets and trenches, but in troubled times. Then after 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. So you have Daniel now say that in seven sevens, so in 49 years, there's going to be a decree that comes out that says go rebuild the temple. Which, by the way, if you go forward, and by the way, the Bible kind of tells us, and the best way to say it, it's March 14th, 445 BC. It's actually Nisan, N-I-S-A-N, but it eventually becomes March, and I won't prove that to you. You just got to trust me on that one. So you have 49 years after this date, a man named Nehemiah, was in the, working for a king named Cyprus. And Cyprus goes, hey, Nehemiah, what's the matter? And he goes, I'm broken. I'm torn up. My hometown, my temple, like we haven't been able to worship our God. And Cyprus goes, hey, here's what you do. Here's a decree. Go home and rebuild it. So if you fast forward seven sevens, that's 49 years, you see that decree. Then when you look at the 62 sevens, that totals out to be 434 years. I love it. You guys, the blank stares are fantastic. I'm so encouraged right now. So if you take the amount of years that Daniel prophesied and made them days, it's 170,880. Would anybody agree that's a lot of days? But then, how do we figure out which day that goes to? Because the Jewish calendar is built on 360 days a year, the lunar, versus the solar cycle, which is what we're on. So this investigator went back to that original March 14, 445 BC, added 170,880 days to the calendar, and ended up being on April 6, 32 AD, which is a Palm Sunday. So let me summarize everything I just said to you. 405 years earlier, God informed these Jewish people what to expect, and to the day, Jesus came riding in on a donkey. If you don't get anything else out of day, God is in control of time. Do you realize that there were four governments that overthrew the Jewish people that could have stopped this word from happening? But mankind wasn't strong enough. Daniel could have delivered it wrong. No, he couldn't have. He delivered it right on. Well, what about a leap year? No, they went with the correct calendar dates and everything. To the day, God said to them, the anointed one will ride in on a donkey. But here's the problem. He wasn't the Jesus they wanted him to be. Because Daniel went on to say, the anointed one will be put to death and have nothing. Like they had 485-year notice on this. And they still wanted to crucify him. But guess what? When it's not what you want, you won't take what you're given. So they're looking at Jesus riding in on this donkey where they should have been worshiping. And instead of recognizing what was happening, they ended up rejecting what Jesus was doing. And so you end up finding four different people group in this crowd. So one of the questions I have for you is, who are you in the crowd today? So in John chapter 12, 16, it says this, at first his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. By the way, if you want to know why I believe the Bible is real, so John wrote this, and John could have said this. Man, when Jesus did this, we got it. Like he could have made himself look good. Here's what he really did was, Jesus did this, but it wasn't until some days later that all the pieces fell into place. Like, that's a real writing right there. It said, now, there was a crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. So group number one that was there was the disciples who believed in Jesus. Group number two were the people at the funeral that saw Lazarus comes walking out, and they went, nope, that's real. Like, no denying that. There ain't no strings on that puppet. This is the real deal here. But then, there was verse 18, many people, because they had heard. So the people who saw Lazarus was talking about this. They didn't have internet. They didn't have, you know, local TV. That they had something like they all word of mouth. People began to say that they heard that he had performed this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So now there's a third group who is investigating this man named Jesus because they heard of this awesome miracle. And then there was a fourth group, number four, the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting out of control. That's like, this is getting us nowhere when it comes to our political power and financial gain. Look how the whole world has gone after him. So my question for you today and those watching online, I'd love to know your thoughts on this also is, are you the Pharisees? That you've received some information, but it doesn't matter the amount of information you get, you're just rejecting Jesus. And if that is you today, I just want to let you know, I'm thrilled that you're here. I'm thrilled that you tuned in online. I'm thrilled that you're at least getting more information. Because maybe there's something that happens in your life where you go, everything I've always tried hasn't worked. I might as well try out this other thing. Possibly you're here because someone invited you and you've had a certain level of illumination of who Jesus is. You haven't really bought into the whole Jesus thing, but man, you're definitely not rejecting him, so you're investigating him. Man, anything we can do to help you give you more information so you can take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, we'd love to. But then there's the group, which is probably a lot of us, is this. They're living in the revelation of it. Man, I saw a miracle. How many can say you've seen a miracle in your life? You saw someone set free when they didn't, when no one thought they could be set free. You saw someone healed from a sickness. You yourself was laden with guilt and shame and everything, but then one day you met Jesus and you went, I don't carry that like I used to. That's probably most of us. We have this revelation of who Jesus is. But then you have the disciples who, man, they didn't just know it. They spoke it. They lived in the realization that they're going to spend the rest of their life declaring who God is. Just so you know, our prayer here is that all of us get to that level. All of us get past to just kind of knowing about him in our head or hearing about him in our ears to living it out in our day-to-day lives. And so you had these four different groups here. So I don't know where you're at in those groups today, but now you know the next step up. If you're a hard-hearted Pharisee, man, just be open. If you're open to it, at some point say yes to it. After you say yes to it, tell someone else about it. So we see this beautiful picture here. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Jesus now continues to ride in, has a conversation, looks over the city. Do you know what he does again? He weeps. He cries over the city. And once again, I found myself going, how is it he knows he's about to raise Lazarus from the dead and he weeps. He knows that these people are going to get the king they need, not the king they want, and he weeps. And I believe it gives us insight, again, to who God Jesus is and man Jesus is. But I'll be honest with you, this didn't come together till Thursday this past week. How many are watching American Idol now? Okay, so originally my wife and I jumped. I was a huge Harry Connick Jr. fan. I thought he was the best. But so when they rebooted it, we were like, well, are we going to give this a try? Well, a young lady who's a part of the Reach Student Ministry that we're connected with, we knew she was trying out. So, man, we're going to be watching. We started watching. The judges are cracking us up, so we're going to keep watching a little bit longer. And our girl's still in it. So we started watching this. Well, we got behind on a few episodes. We had time to watch American Idol but not read our Bible app. I just realized in telling the story that no way around that. It's out there now. He all. Go back to a worse joke. So I'm watching it one night, and this story comes up, and what they've been doing a lot this year, a lot of it's human interest stories with their audition. And as this audition goes on, I feel like God spoke to me about why he cried here. And when I say spoke to me, don't go like weird, like you heard voices. No, you've had this happen before where you just know inside of you what's right and wrong. You may call it intuition. There's like a wrestling inside, but then there was a peace that came about you. Like as Christians, we believe the Holy Spirit is here to help us and guide us and answer questions for us. And we would love, how many would love the audible voice of God? That way it's just easier, right? But he doesn't play that game ever. So I'm laying there, and all of a sudden I'm watching this, and I hear God say something to me. I went, God, that's why you wept over us. Before I tell you what he said to me, I want you to watch the video I watched, and that way we're all on the same page as we try to figure out, why is Jesus weeping when he knows what's to come? Shouldn't he be celebrating? Take a look at this. You know, I'm unaware if this young lady knows the soul craving that she just told to America. But what she was saying is, to the deepest core of who I am, I have a desire to connect with a father. And as I was watching that, I felt like God said to me, her desire to connect with me infinitely pales in my desire to connect with her. So you have Jesus and his closest friends. And he began to weep because he's going, guys, I've been with you so much. You have to know that I have the best for you. And then he comes into the city with this worship placed in the wrong place. I think it was real worship, but they were missing out on the grander picture. And as he sat overlooking them, he goes, I crave to connect with your souls, but I also know what I'm going to do it. And I know that in a moment you're going to feel disappointed, but for eternity you're going to have joy. So I love this beautiful picture that Jesus gives to us because I think it shows us his level of desire to be with us. And in the moment when they're asking for all this stuff, he's going, but we're still separated. We may be with each other, but not connected to each other. And it breaks his heart. And he, in his infinite love, to overcome our infinite desire, paid the infinite price on a cross. So we celebrate this Holy Week and beginning of it, but I want to let you know that as a man, he was understanding the burden of it. As God, he understood the weight of it. But for us, he was willing to pay the price for it. And he may not be the Jesus you always want him to be, but I'm okay with that because you're going to find a Jesus that you need him to be. You may fit these expectations on him, but you may feel some disappointment. But if you just read long enough, you end up seeing, I will die for you. So if you're here today and you don't understand the weightiness of why we as Christians take a week, why we take multiple services, why we have special evening services throughout the week, because this is a time when we come under an understanding of what he did for us. And I got to be honest, I don't think he was motivated to keep us from going somewhere, but he was driven so that he could be with us. Today, God wants to be with you. If you're here today, I'm just going to ask everyone to close your eyes, bow your heads, kind of separate yourself. If you're watching online right now and this speaks to you, please let us know. Click the button. Shoot us a message on Facebook. If you're here today and you go, I want to know this Jesus that wept over me before I knew him. This Jesus that allowed himself to be beaten, battered, and bruised for my sins. I want you to know that he has already put his glances on you, and he's just waiting for you to turn to him. If you're here today and you would like to know that Jesus is your Savior, I'm going to just simply ask you to raise your hand. Every eye is closed. Every head is bowed. No one's looking at you. If that's you today, just let us know that you made that decision. Praise God. For everyone else, I think most of us live somewhere in the place of I know a lot about him and I believe him. But I want to pray today that we all take the next step to becoming disciples with him. That for years to come, 10 out of the 11 were actually killed and tortured to death and died for Christ. May for the next 20, 30, 50 years of our life, may we give our life so much that we would die for him since he already died for us. I pray this morning, if anyone has been under attack because of, I'll just say, Pharisaical thinking, political reasons, money reasons, God, I help you. I pray that they overcome. I pray for those that have witnessed a miraculous thing with you, but they're still on the front side of it, and the brother Lazarus is still in the tomb. God, I pray that they wait long enough for you to say, come up from the grave. And for all of us, God, as Jesus enters the city and we're worshiping him, if we're a hard-hearted Pharisee, if we're a interested bystander, if we're a first-hand account of something or a full-blown disciple, Lord, help us take our next step in a growing relationship with you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.